And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now, by the way, 27 minutes to the hour. And I'm joined on the line now by Liam Horan for our Monday Career Corner. Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening, Eden.
And as always, thank you for joining us and you're very welcome. Two problems this evening, Liam. Number one, the question is, I want to start sending out my CV speculatively to organisations in my area to get myself known and hopefully open some doors. Any tips on the best way of going about this?
Yes, I suppose the whole definition of what is a speculative dispatch or CV is probably the place to start. By that I mean just sending your CV to sort of dear sir, madam, or to the manager, or without a name, either dropping it in or posting it or emailing it. It's probably not the way to go. You need to do a bit of research before you send it out at all. So get the name of the key person. Is it the marketing manager? Is it the recruitment person, the HR person? Is it the general manager? Try and get the name of the key person. Now, you might say, well, how do I do that? There are a number of ways. First of all, you may know somebody working in the company. But secondly, and this is the simple way and the obvious way, I suppose, is ring the organisation and ask them, if I was sending a CV to such and such a section, who's the person I address it to? And generally they'll tell you, because it puts down confusion at their end when a letter comes in or an email comes in without a specific target on it. So try and get the name of the person who you're going to send it to and direct it to that person. Get their email address if you can and direct it to that person. That's one thing I would say. If you get put through to that person when you make that call, actually, if it happens that the person who answers the phone puts you through to the recruiter that you're hoping to speak to, just give a very brief description of why you're on the phone, saying that I'm here to hopefully get your details to send you on a CV that you might take a look at, and get off the phone fairly quickly again. People are generally busy, so don't drag them into a big, long conversation. Say, I will send you on a follow-up letter and CV, and do that very, very quickly, inside the next few hours, I would say, but certainly within inside the next day or two. So follow up, or if you haven't got time to the right person, send in a personalised, a professional letter and CV to the company. So as discussed with you on the phone, or please find attached if you didn't get talking to the right person. The point of all of that being that you need to know where it's going to and get it to the right place. That's the first thing. And that's something that people frequently underestimate. A lot of people, when they're sending out their CVs, are just glad to get it out there. But really sending out 100 CVs without any proper destinations mightn't be the best way to go. I would say sending out a lot fewer, but making sure they get to the right people is much more effective. So you're sending your CV with a personalised, but professional letter, as I said, and a couple of weeks later then, no harm to make a follow-up phone call. Now, again, you've got to read this, depending on how busy the company may be or the person may be, but particularly if you got speaking to them earlier on, no harm to make a follow-up phone call and just saying to double-check that I got through okay. Again, mannerly, but you might think you're wasting their time, but the number of people who actually follow up, it's like in the world of sales. People regularly send out sales documents and don't follow up, believe it or not, or don't make the second follow-up call. Now, here you need to be careful you don't become an irritant to the recruiter that you're dealing with, or the HR person, or whoever it is you're dealing with in the company. But no harm at all to make a follow-up call. You'd be surprised, as I said, how few people do that. So there are key things I think you should do in terms of sending out your CV speculatively. Try and get it to a target and do a follow-up call. And, you know, no harm 6 months later to send another little follow-up email in or a handwritten note. You'd never know when your name might cross the desk at the right time. They might just be looking for somebody for a quick holiday relief or a maternity leave or temporary cover or something like that. So no harm to keep your name in there without becoming a nuisance.
And, of course, as well as that, it displays initiative on your part.
Absolutely. And that's something that job seekers often underestimate, that, you know, it's a bit like if you have 10 bills in front of you and you need to pay the 10 bills, you're most likely to pay the person who rang today checking on the bill, whereas with the other 9, if they haven't looked for a check, well, you say, well, maybe I'll leave them a few more days. You know what I mean?
This is true.
Like that.
This is true, indeed.
We all know this. No harm at all. Showing enthusiasm without becoming a nuisance is very, very important. And there have been cases where people were just the right person at the right time. So you've got to read it, but the whole phrase of speculatively, you need to take some of the speculation out of it and make it as targeted as possible, I would say.
Now, another problem received via email from DL. I'm a quality control specialist, but I haven't had a job of any sort for 5 months now since I was made redundant. I've just been offered an administrative position covering maternity leave in a legal office. I'm wondering if it'll look bad on my CV that I moved away from quality control into another area, particularly because I want to get back into quality control as soon as possible.
Yeah, people worry about changing careers and the impact it's going to have on their CV. My feeling generally is that it'll look good rather than bad, and I'll tell you why. It shows that you continue to work when options in your chosen area, you know, became limited. And you can always convince a future employer in the quality control sector that this was a good thing to do, because, go back on something you touched on earlier on, it shows enthusiasm, it shows initiative. So faced with the option of not working at all or working in a different area that's not necessarily your area, I think it's much better to go and do that, okay? And I suppose in a lot of these cases, it's not just the decision you make, but how you portray that down the line. So, you know, we've touched on this on many occasions, it's up to you to put the positive spin on your career decisions. It's up to you to package them or sell them to the employer in a way that doesn't threaten them and, in fact, attracts them. So you could say down the line that, I took the job at the solicitor's office because I don't like being idle and I like to be working. That's very, very effective. I learned a great deal in the solicitor's office. My attitude is that you learn wherever you go. So rather than sitting at home twiddling my thumbs, I found that role to be very beneficial. So, you know, it's how you sell it later on. But if you troop into an interview all sheepish and apologetic for deviating from the one true path, so to speak, of quality control, you won't impress the employer. So the answer to the question implies a certain sheepishness on the part of the person who's asked the question. And I would say you've got to kind of proactively or positively spin that in a way, and spin is a dangerous word, I know, in terms of careers, but you've got to spin it in a way that makes the employer feel, yeah, that was good on their part rather than bad. But again, it's so often happens in this area, it's down to how you portray that. And I would always say to people, if you don't sell it to the employer the way you want the employer to read it, take it as read that they will put the negative spin on it, okay? And that forces you to work harder at convincing them. They may not put the negative spin on it, but you should take it for granted they will if you don't put a positive spin on it. So it's all about the onus being on you to present your experience in a way that the employer finds reassuring and is reassuring, because it is a good thing that you're working rather than sitting at home twiddling your thumbs waiting for this exact one thing that only you can do to arrive, you know.
And we're always told anyway that a gap in your work record is never a good thing from the point of view of a prospective employer.
Yeah, and, you know, if you can avoid them at all, do. You know, and careers are not straight lines. There's very few people you'll meet who started out leaving school or college and went on this logical, sequential path to where they are now. And that circuitous nature of careers has never been more true than in the last 7 or 8 years in Ireland, where almost everybody is, well, that's probably an exaggeration, but huge numbers of people have changed. So the standard that question, or the burden or the threshold for a straight career path, is one that the questioner in this case is putting on themselves rather than the employer. Employers see all sorts of career paths all the time and it doesn't really bother them. So I wouldn't have a problem, but if you don't sell it properly and don't present it properly, you may not get the value of it, and there may be a negative spin taken out by the employer.
And of course, as well as that, we all know now that the, you know, one job, one career from age 23, 24 until you're 65, that day is gone. And employers are worldly wise. They know that even if you may be in a job unconnected to the job that he or she is going to give you, you're still getting experience. You know, you're out there in the workplace.
Absolutely. And from experiences like that, there's lots of benefits can come, you know, a greater awareness of how the world works, not just stuck in one way. So, and as you say, the job for life thing is well shot now. It was shot probably to a large degree before the Big Bang, but it's well shot now. And you know, so what? Isn't it great in some ways? Because it'd be great to have multiple experiences throughout your life other than one path, you know.
Indeed.
So I think that the questioner just needs to kind of be positive about what they're doing rather than negative, and they'll be fine.
Very good. We have to leave it there. Liam Horan, as always, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening, and we look forward to talking to you again around 5:30 next week.
Thank you very much, Aidan.
A very good evening to you.